Amen. It's good to be able to come together on this morning to sing praises unto our God, to give back a portion of that in which He has allowed us to prosper and to partake of the Lord's Supper. We're now at the part of our service where we hear His word being proclaimed. And I hope and pray that you follow along in your Bibles to know that what is being said is true, that you may be able to go back and look at those things. On last week, we answered a question of dealing with and talking about, will I have to answer to God for hanging out, socializing with someone that is gay or in an unscriptural relationship? The scriptures that we use to reference those things was starting out in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, where the Bible states there, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We used 1 Corinthians 5, looking at a man having his father's wife and going down to the end where the Bible states that we should not even eat with such a one. Talked about 1 Corinthians 6 verses 9 through 11 where Paul mentioned many different sins there, and the reason being that he mentioned those sins was to let them know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he talked and he spoke there, writing in verse 11, that, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified. You know, we have to understand that we all have sinned for sure and fallen short of the glory of God. And as we look at those things and talk about those things, we have to know that God's word has not changed. His word will not align with our lives, but our lives need to align with His word. And I came away from the sermon topic of last week, so the question that was asked was right on time because of what I was going to preach about on last week. We're going to preach about and talk about it on this week, knowing again that His word is true. His word is true. And what we are going to be looking at this week is homosexuality, Romans 1, verses 18 through 32. Romans 1, verses 18 through 32. The scripture that was read by Brother Francis, I appreciate him reading that. And I would appreciate that if we would all read it and understand that when we preach, when we teach, when we talk about such things, that we have to know and understand that it is God's word. We're not preaching or teaching something for you to think that we hate you. I'm saying we. I'm not necessarily talking about you, and I'm most definitely not talking about me when we talk about this subject right here. There are some other things that we may be doing that's wrong, but this is not one of them. But we is dealing with people that are in sin. People that say that you are judging me. People that are saying that you are not God. True, we are judging you. True, we're not God. But we have every right as children of God to tell you that you are in sin. and that God is not pleased with sin. Love the man, hate the sin. God hates sin. Hates sin. So there in Romans 1, starting with verse 18. And I'm gonna tell y'all this right now. I'm going to do my very best to get you out of here by 12. I'm going to try my very best, okay? I can see the clock, and the clock is in my favor, Brother Brian. Okay? Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. Okay? Ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For the invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. Without excuse. Now I want to define excuse by using the word reason. Okay? If you give me a reason why you can't do something, it's just giving me an excuse why you can't do it. Okay? So whatever reason you have for not doing what's right, understand that God has said that they are without an excuse. Without excuse. All right? Verse 21. For although they knew God and did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, in their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. They changed. God has not changed. Man has changed. Man changed from the very beginning, when they decided to do what they wanted to do and not what God wanted them to do. When there was no king, the Bible says that they did that which was right in their own eyes. Here, his word hasn't changed. Man is still doing what they want to do. Verse 24, therefore, God gave them up to their lust of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Who's blessed forever? Is it the creature? By no means. It is God. Amen. And we need to look at him and we need to honor him as God. These individuals that Paul is writing about right here knew God just as we know him today. We have heard about him. They had heard about him, but did not want to do the things that were right. We have to keep looking at his word, and we have to keep placing his word in the front of our minds, the forefront. In our lives, in the things that we say, the things that we do, God deserves to be seen. We continue. We look at verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For the women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passions for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving to themselves the due penalty of their error. How did God create man? woman and man. Made man one way, woman another way. He made them different so that they could reproduce. Two women cannot reproduce. Two men cannot reproduce. But yet, what we have is we have these people that have engaged in relationships that God is not pleased with. Unscriptural. As that question was asked, in an unscriptural relationship. See, we cannot say, you know, I'm glad to two women, I'm glad to meet your husband. Or to two men, I'm glad to meet your wife. No. The definition truly has changed in what probably whatever dictionary you look in, the definition has changed. If it says that a marriage is between a man and woman, of course, it's going to have a one by it. And then you keep reading that definition, and it has a two by it, and it has changed. God didn't put a one or a two by it. God said, you know, in his word, Adam spoke the words that God allowed him to speak, that since this woman, this was taken from him, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. A wife, what I've always known from a little child, is a woman. A husband is a man. If you don't know the difference between a man and a woman, there is a problem. And that needs to be addressed. You remember the definition I gave, or the name I gave in reference to what they have called a thigh baby? Y'all remember that? Y'all may not. We'll have to come back and visit that again another day. A thigh baby is something pretty much a thing that a mother and a father has said, I'm going to let you decide what you want to be. God has already decided it. When you go get that ultrasound and you're looking at that child that's within that mother, it tells the sex of that child, whether it's a male or a female, not a thigh baby. That's a new term that they've come up with. It's a baby. It's a living being, not a spiritual being, but a living being. So therefore, we need to understand what God has done. Man has tried so many times to change. And that is what he's addressing here in the book of Romans chapter 1. And what did God do? When people come up to you and say, you don't want anything to do with me because of my sexual preference, God don't want anything to do with you. So if God gave you up, I have every right to give you up as well. I want to encourage you to come away from that lifestyle, yes. But if you don't, I have every right not to participate or to approve of what you are doing. Let's keep reading. Verse 26 again. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge, we just reading verse 26. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a worthless mind, to do what ought not to be done. Now, a lot of times when we talk about God hating something, but he allows it, we talk about divorce. God hates divorce, but he allows divorce. For what cause does he allow divorce? For the cause of sexual immorality, for fornication, for adultery. He allows divorce. But here the Bible says that since they want to do these things, God gave them up to do what ought not to be done. But he is still displeased with that. And man is the one that needs to change. He said they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, covetousness, malice. that they are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless, though they knew God, though they knew God's righteous decree, that those who practice such things deserve to die. They not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. All of those sins right there, God is displeased with. All of those sins right there, we need to hate as well. And we need to talk to people about their choices. Oh, this is how I was born. No, you were not. You were not born gay. You were not born a drunk. You were not born hating your parents. You learn these things along the way, and you choose to do them because somebody else is doing them and you think that it is right. Just because you think it's right doesn't make it right. And so therefore, we need to keep looking at the Word of God, and we need to keep doing the things that God wants us to do. He says here, Romans 1:32 again, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Well, why come you can't accept me like I am, Mama? Why come you can't accept me like I am, Daddy? Because God does not accept you like that. We need to disapprove of those things. We need to teach our children the right way to live. But I love this person. You don't understand what love is. Yeah, you can love them. Doesn't mean you have to sleep with them. We're supposed to love everybody. Love is an action word. Yes, this is my... No, it's not. That person you are not supposed to be with. Two people of the same sex should not engage in a relationship together. Should not. Because God said so. Homosexuality is an abomination before God. And if it's an abomination before God, what are we to do? How are we to react to these things? I remember a man telling me, he said, if you come over to my house and I'm sitting there and I'm holding hands with my friend, I hope it doesn't offend you. Ooh, what you do is your own business. As long as you don't try to hold my hand, you're all right. But you're not going to come in my house and sit there and hold hands with your friend. See, we have to understand that yes, when we enter someone else's house, we enter to accept whatever they're doing. Whatever they're doing, we're there to accept that. If they want to get drunk, who are we to say, you know, this is your house and you shouldn't be getting drunk. They say, this is my house and you can get out. You don't have to say it number one time. True, I do. This is your house and I do have to get out. Because I don't want to see you in that state. And I don't want to see you in that relationship. A lady once asked, you know, can we come over to your house and, you know, come to visit you? And, you know, when they said that they wanted to come and they wanted to spend the night. Okay, you're not going to be sleeping in the same bed because this is not your husband and this is not your wife. They got mad. So be it. This is my house. We set the rules. Y'all heard that, right? We set the rules. We have to be in agreement with those rules. Don't allow people to force their beliefs on you or their practices on you, when God has not accepted those things, we cannot accept them either. In the beginning, how did God create man? Male and female, He created them. And what did God say to them? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Two women can't do that. Two men can't do that. Has to be a man and a woman. Has to be. If we are to do what God wants us to do, we have to keep looking at His word, and we have to keep saying and doing the things that are right. You all may not remember this sign. You all may not remember when I preached about homosexuality, when this sign came about. I believe it was around 2013, 2014. We went by and tried to view this sign one night. We was coming back from, I believe it was Post Oak or whatever that congregation is out there in the middle of nowhere. We went to try to find this sign. Brother Shelton was driving from the gospel meeting. I believe Sister LaTanya was with us. And we was coming back down Boristown Road. And we could not find that sign for nothing. They had removed it. But look what this sign says. Not everyone who is gay is happy. You have options. You have options. You know what that option is? To do what God's word says. To come away from that unscriptural relationship you are engaged in with somebody. You know, I had the pleasure of performing a marriage ceremony not too long ago. Names are withheld. But there was a two women that was in a relationship. No, I did not perform that ceremony. And then when it comes down to looking at the marriage license asked the question, have you ever been married before? And one had to put yes, they had been married before, and because the world, mankind, accept a homosexual marriage as a marriage. And we know that God hates divorce. So since they was married in the eyes of man and not in the eyes of God, they had to get a divorce in the eyes of man. So that person had to put on there that they had been divorced, had been married, now they're divorced. And I will not perform a marriage ceremony if a person has been divorced for an unscriptural reason. Or if that person has been put away, I will not perform that marriage ceremony. And since they did not have a reason for getting divorced because of fornication or adultery, then if it was a man and a woman, I wouldn't have been able to perform that ceremony. But I told that person, I said, you have really never been married before in the eyes of God. You have not been married before because God did not recognize that marriage. You have options. Maybe you're gay. I don't know. You have an option. You know, you say that you are not happy. Why are you in that relationship? Now, if you're a man and a woman and you're married to each other, you're not happy, shame on you. You're stuck. Until death do us part. You have no out. You have no out. But if you're gay and you're married to that same sex, you have an option. You can either stay there or you can conform to the word of God, come away from there, find yourself someone of the opposite sex and marry them. And then just maybe you'll be happy. But people will say, you just don't want me to be happy. Why can't you accept me for who I am, for what I am? What is exactly right? The who? I accept you as being, you know, whether you're a member of my family or whether you are a long lost friend, I accept you as that, but not as being gay. I will not accept that. We should not accept that. Why? Because God does not accept it. People again say, I was born this way. You were not born that way. Identical twins. One gay, one not. We believe twins, research studies show nobody is born gay. These two sharing the same DNA, identical twins, one born gay, one not. What? How is that possible? It is not possible. They were born male. They were born upright, perfect before God. Everything that God created was very good. He did not create men to be gay, mankind to be gay. And so let's not accept it when someone said, I was born this way. No, you were not. You were taught that way. And you need to come away from that. There in 2013, the Gallup poll in July 2013, the U.S. Supreme Court legalized at one point, let me go ahead and read that to you, 52% of all Americans think homosexuality marriages should be legal. Matthew 7:13 says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter thereby are many. By it are many. Okay, that was in 2013. We jump forward to 2015, where the U.S. Supreme Court has legalized all same-sex marriages. Legalized it now. Who gave them the right to legalize something that God says is illegal? To say this is right when God has said that it is wrong. Who gave them that right? They took it upon themselves. Again, the courts are... Excuse me if you are in a sitting position on a court, but the courts are a lie. When they say that they believe that God's word is true, you go back and read Romans 1. It said they knew God, but they did not want to honor him as God. If you believe that his word is true, what you need to do is you need to conform to it. We believe that God's word is true, so therefore we teach it as truth. We practice it as truth. The courts do not do that. What they say is right. You know, you remember, you know, when you see the scales of justice, there's a blindfold because it says that justice is blind, that they want to see everybody equal. No, who's blind is those that have made the laws that say that God's word is truth, but yet they do not want to follow it. In this case, the Supreme Court was blind and still blind today if they do not go back and change what they have set to be right. Can they change it? Yes, they can change it. They did it. They can change it. Do they need to change it? Yes, they need to change it. Will they change it? Probably not. But it doesn't mean that we need to accept it. We need to keep doing what is right. Homosexuality, a gay response. For telling us there was something wrong with us, for misreading the living word of God as words of prejudice and fear, for treating us like sinners, like victims, like secondhand class citizens, for placing a burden of guilt where there should be only God's love and joy, for telling us we are not allowed to be happy, for all these mistakes, we forgive you. If any of you ever ask someone to forgive you for telling them the truth, you need to stop and ask God to forgive you. For standing for what's right. Jude 3 tells us to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. So for that gay response, I say this. No one asked for your forgiveness. No one asked for your forgiveness. And when I say that, I'm talking about me now. I don't know about you. Maybe you feel bad about telling someone that they're in sin. Don't feel bad. Feel like you've done what God has wanted you to do, what we're required to do. And then you look here where this woman here is standing on truth now, who again is not doing what's right, but standing on truth. No one is born gay. The mere ideal that is possible is a flimsy fabrication of sloppy journalists and a more queer activist. Any person, male or female, who cannot feel the sexual allure of the opposite sex has been traumatized by some early combination of social circumstances. That may not always be true, but that's a lot of times is true. We teach our children, you know that, and sometimes people ask us when they're trying to interrogate us. You know, maybe you are in an abusive relationship, and then they go to counseling, and you find that the reason that this person is abusive is because his or her mother was abusive, or her mother or father was abusive. So therefore, now they are abusive. This is what they've always seen, so they think that it is the right thing to do. Being gay, sometimes the reason is because they have been treated a certain way coming up, or they have been misused by the same sex coming up, or maybe by the opposite sex. And they say, I didn't like that. So therefore, as a male, I don't like women because of what was done to me when I was a child by some woman. So therefore, now they like men. It's still not a reason. It's still no excuse. So we have to learn what is right, and we have to do the things that are right. Genesis 19, 4 and 5. Now, before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally. I don't care about their name. I want to know them. What do you mean you want to know them? You don't care about their name. I want to know them. Anybody ever told you that? I want to get to know you a little bit better. They know their name. They know your name. They know where you live. They know where you work. They know where you worship. But they say, I want to get to know you a little bit better. Hopefully it's not someone of the same sex. Hopefully someone of the opposite sex. And then when they tell you that and you are the opposite sex, you say, marry me. And then you can get to know me a little bit better. Just say. Those men there in Sodom and Gomorrah, they were gay. Maybe they wasn't gay. Maybe they was bi. Whatever the case, those men wanted to know the other men. They wanted to sleep with them. Lot said, that's not right. Take my daughters who have not been with any man. They didn't want his daughters. They wanted the men. Then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone you have in the city? Bring them out of this place. Now, this is not the men that wanted the men. This is the men that came in, that they wanted. Y'all understand that? These were the two that came into the city. And they're telling Lot, you need to take your sons-in-laws, your sons, daughters, your sons and your daughters, and get out of this city. Leave. Why? Because God is going to destroy it because of the sin that is going on. Because of the sin. And we need to understand again, why does God say that these things are wrong? Why do we say that these things are wrong? I want you to look at this. I want you to look at it very carefully. I'm going back and forth for a reason. Some of y'all have figured it out, some of y'all haven't. It's because my slides are going to rush themselves and try to rush me. Man, it is 12 o'clock. Whew. Leviticus 18:22. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. You know what people say? You want to go back to the Old Testament and tell us what we can and cannot do. Let me ask you a question. How many of you think that it's right to sleep with an animal? God said that bestiality was wrong, that a man should not lie with an animal. Do you do that? We went back to the Old Testament to get that, did we not, Brother Brian? So why come we can't go back to the Old Testament and get where a male should not lie with another male as he does with a woman? God doesn't have to keep repeating himself. You know that that's nasty. You're not going to do it. Amen. This is nasty as well. If a man lies with a male as with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood is up on them. Now, are we stoning homosexuals today? No. We're teaching them the truth. We're trying to encourage them to come away from that lifestyle. Because God is displeased with it. Again, what did God do? God gave them up, bless you. God gave them up to a dishonorable passions for their woman, exchange natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. Contrary to nature, the parts do not fit. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and consumed with passions for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving to themselves the due penalty for their error. Okay, let me stop real quick. Y'all think that I'm hard on homosexuality? I think that a man that gets sloppy drunk is a shame as well. I think that a person that cannot tell the truth, that person need to be set down and taught that truth need to be told and lies need to be stopped. See, I'm just as hard on those sins as we should be on this sin. Yeah. You know, people have their thoughts. People have their ideals. And people say, you're just picking on me. I'm picking on us. Amen. Romans 6, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11. I'm picking on us. What God has said is wrong. We need to identify and relate that these things are wrong. Again, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. And such were some of you, but now you have been washed, you have been saved, you have been sanctified, set apart to do what is right before God. And for that man that says, I cannot help myself, you do not want to help yourself. There's the door. You don't like the relationship you're in because it's not right in the eyes of God. Walk out the door. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will also provide a way of escape that you may, what? Be able to endure it. I want out of this relationship. If you're married to a man, if you're married to a woman, you want out of that relationship? No. You don't have a right to want out of that relationship. But if you are a man married to a man, leave that relationship. A woman married to a woman, leave that relationship. Do what is right before God. You know, a lot of times we're talking to non-Christians. We have some Christians that are doing the very thing that non-Christians are doing. So we look at this. How can we overcome sin? You put Christ on. Paul writes to the church of Galatia in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Have put him on. How can we come away from this? You can come away from this. You can overcome this by a good prayer life. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, what does it say? Pray without ceasing. Change of friends. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity against God or with God? James teaches us that. Stay away from these places of sin. You know, what does Paul say? Flee youthful lust. Abstain from all appearances of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5, 22. We need to understand what we need to do. And we need to do those things because that's what's right before God. If you're here today and you're caught up in sin, what we are supposed to do, the Bible says in Galatians 6, verse 1, You who are a spirit, when you find a person caught up in a fault, talking about a Christian now, you find caught up in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, consider yourself, lest ye also be tempted. We have to do what's right. We have to encourage one another. And that man that is caught up in sin, that says, I can't help myself. That's a non-Christian. I can't help myself. Yes, you can. Hear the word of God. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus says in John 8:24, except ye believe that I'm he, you would die in your sins. You would die in your sins. They say that Jesus says nothing about homosexuality. Jesus has said all that he needs to say about homosexuality. Why? Because in the beginning was the word. John 1:1. Who's that word? That word became flesh. John 1:14. And dwelt among men. That is Jesus. He says all that the Father says. He's in agreement with the Father. Believe that he is the Son. That he came to save men from their sins. Then you need to repent. Luke 13:3-5. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Make that confession that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, Romans 10:10. Confession is made with the mouth, but you believe with the heart. Believe that he is the Son. Make that confession and fully acknowledge that and be willing to do what the word says. He that is baptized shall be saved. He that is not shall be condemned. Baptism is what saves. According to 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 21, the like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism saves. And then what must we do? We must continue to study. Continue to study. 2 Timothy 2:15, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why? So that we may grow. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do what is right. So if you're here and you're not a child of God and you want to become one, that opportunity is yours. Yes, you're going to have to give up some things. Yes, you're going to have to change some friends. Yes, you're going to have to change the way you talk. Yes, you're going to have to change the way you dress. Yes, you're going to have to change the way you walk. You have to change some things. But it's okay. You're going to give up all that, but look what you gain. You gain an inheritance. If you die faithful, you'll be able to be with God throughout all eternity. It's worth it, isn't it? Amen. Is it not worth it? Let's do what's right. If you're here and you're straight away, we encourage you to come back to the fold today and ask for the prayers of the congregation as you confess your faults to God. And the Bible tells us he's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. Whether you have been a homosexual, a liar, or a thief, or a covetous person, God will forgive that because he's God and he has the power to forgive. That person that says, we forgive you, that person has no power. That person is not godly. That person is not God. But if you ask God to forgive you, then he will forgive you. And you can be happy. You can have joy. So let's do what's right. If you're here this morning, you're subject to the invitation. We ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.